Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, or good night. This is Kyle Ledbetter, the host, producer, and writer for The Fall of the Spurs Dynasty and the author of the new book, The Spurs Dynasty, a historical account of the most successful dynasty in North American pro sports. Our book comes out next week on February 22nd, available February 21st on Amazon and Kindle. If you want more information on the book, there's a link in the description to this episode. It's Spurs' sixth championship on Linktree. You can click the link directly from the episode, and all of the information you need about the book, including pre-orders, are available. Last week, I outlined how on this podcast feed, I wanted to create a special audiobook experience with the Spurs Dynasty, the book based on the documentary series that we did. And so I have been, bit by bit, reading parts of the book before it becomes available to the public here on this feed. And today, we're going to work through the first part of chapter one. We've done the introduction, we've set the stage for the book, and now we're going to begin the actual content itself. We're going to work through about half of chapter one, and next week, February 22nd, next Wednesday, the full chapter one will be available on audiobook, and the book will be released on all platforms available for you to order. So here is chapter one of our book, The Spurs Dynasty. The Spurs Dynasty, a historical account of the most successful dynasty in North American pro sports, by Kyle Ledbetter. Chapter 1, Standard. Quote, smooth, graceful, creative, unstoppable, George Iceman Gervin was one of basketball's most electrifying players. His passion, his desire, his drive to succeed combined with his extraordinary athletic ability made Gervin a nightmare to defend. One of only three players in NBA history to win four or more league scoring titles, 1978, 1979, 1980, 1982, Gervin captivated fans for 14 professional seasons with the Virginia Squires, 1972 to 1974, San Antonio Spurs, 1974 to 1985, and Chicago Bulls, 1985 to 1986. Gervin still holds the NBA record for most points in a quarter with 33, and his silky smooth finger roll, a shot he softly launched from any angle, was legendary. End quote. This is how the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame details the career of George Gervin, the first superstar in the history of the San Antonio Spurs. The sharpshooting guard joined the San Antonio Spurs in the middle of their first season in San Antonio in 1974. Prior to 1973, the Spurs franchise was known as the Dallas Chaparrals of the American Basketball Association, also known as the ABA, which was the competing basketball league with the National Basketball Association, or NBA. Like many pro sports teams in the 1970s, the Dallas Chaparrals were facing financial hardships, and the governors of the team could not afford to keep them competitive. In 1973, the ABA franchise was leased out to a group of San Antonio business owners to see if they could make a profit in another city. After three seasons, San Antonio's group had the option to buy the team outright, extend their lease, or turn the team back to the Dallas ownership group, who likely would have disbanded the franchise. When the team moved to San Antonio and rebranded to the Spurs in 1973, the franchise agreed to purchase the 21-year-old Gervin from the Virginia Squires, another ABA franchise in financial disarray, in exchange for $225,000. When the deal was announced, ABA leadership attempted to prevent the deal from happening after Gervin's breakout 1973 season, stating it was, quote, detrimental to the league's well-being. The controversy over Gervin's trade to San Antonio led to threats of lawsuits and U.S. Marshals pulling Gervin off the floor in Virginia, and ultimately led to a San Antonio judge ruling that the trade must go through if previously agreed to by both the Spurs and Squires. Gervin ended up going to San Antonio, while the Virginia Squires folded as a franchise in 1976. After Gervin arrived in San Antonio, he was named an ABA or NBA All-Star every year for the next 12 seasons. The Spurs made the 1974 ABA playoffs in their first year in San Antonio, and then made the playoffs again in 1975 and 1976. The immediate success of the franchise led to the Spurs being one of four ABA franchises included in the 1976 ABA and NBA merger. In 1978, the Spurs' second season in the NBA, George Gervin won his first of three consecutive scoring titles, awarded to the player who averaged the most points per game during the NBA season. The Spurs made the ABA or NBA playoffs every year during their first 10 seasons in San Antonio. The Spurs won five division titles in a six-year span between 1977 and 1983, which were statistically the best years of George Gervin's Hall of Fame career. In 1979, the Spurs advanced to their franchise's first conference finals. In the NBA's best-of-seven games playoff format, the Spurs had to win four games before losing four games in order to advance to the franchise's first NBA Finals. The San Antonio Spurs and Washington Bullets each won three of the first six games, which set up a winner-takes-all Game 7 for the Eastern Conference Championship. The Bullets defeated Gervin and the Spurs in that Game 7 and went on to win the 1979 NBA Championship. Note 1. The San Antonio Spurs played in the Eastern Conference until 1980, when conference realignment moved them to the Western Conference. They've played in the Western Conference every year from 1980 to 2023. End note. 3 years later, San Antonio advanced to the 1982 Western Conference Finals, where they got swept by losing the first four games of the series to Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Jamal Wilkes, and the Los Angeles Lakers. The next season, the Spurs returned to the Western Conference Finals, where they again lost to the quote-unquote Showtime Lakers. San Antonio missed the playoffs for the first time in 1984. And 1 year later, George Gervin was traded from San Antonio to the Chicago Bulls, where he played one season alongside a 23-year-old Michael Jordan before retiring from basketball in 1986. In the 12 seasons George Gervin played in San Antonio, the Spurs went from an ABA franchise with the possibility of financial failure to a stable NBA team worth millions of dollars, receiving a steady income from the NBA's first big television contract with CBS following the 1976 merger. The growth of popularity in professional basketball meant the San Antonio Spurs were going to be an NBA franchise for a very long time. The only disappointment is that, despite having one of the greatest careers in NBA history, George Gervin never got to play in an ABA or NBA Finals during his 12 years with the San Antonio Spurs. After losing to the Lakers in the 1983 Western Conference Finals, the Spurs did not record a winning record for the next four seasons. The worst of these seasons came in 1987, when San Antonio finished with a 28-54 win-loss record, at the time, the worst season in franchise history. Note 2. Anytime we mention team records in this book, we'll use the standard basketball terminology of wins and losses. For example, 50-32 means 50 wins and 32 losses, and 6-2 means 6 wins and 2 losses. End note. In all major North American professional sports leagues, the NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, Major League Soccer, and the National Hockey League, new players who are entering the sport must declare for the league's draft, where they have the opportunity to be selected by a team, and that team in turn obtains the rights to that player. They can sign the player to a contract, trade the player to another team, or the player can sign a contract with another league, while the original team retains their rights if they choose to play in their league. In addition to drafting new players into the league with a draft, the draft order is determined by order of record from the previous season. Teams with the worst records get to pick new players before teams with better records. Reverse order draft position is designed such that the best new players will be drafted by bad teams, and those teams will in turn win more games, sell more tickets, and there will be a more entertaining and competitive product for their customers to pay for. One of the consequences of reverse order draft position is that the teams who know they will be bad are incentivized to put a worst product on the floor in order to obtain better draft positioning and potentially get better players in the draft. Data from NBA attendance numbers between 2009 and 2019 shows a loose correlation between an NBA team's win-loss record and their average attendance rankings for the season. When a basketball team plays worse, teams see short-term decreases in revenue. When teams make an effort to pursue quote-unquote tanking entire seasons for better draft positioning, those short-term revenue decreases continue for longer periods of time. Additionally, unions want to disincentivize tanking because tanking correlates with teams spending less money on players as a way to make up for decreases in revenue. For decades, professional sports leagues have made efforts to disincentivize teams from actively putting a worse product on the floor. Historically, one of the most effective forms of disincentivizing tanking has been the creation of a quote-unquote draft lottery system. The NBA became the first league to institute a draft lottery, which has existed in some capacity after every NBA season since 1985. In 1982, the Houston Rockets tanked to acquire the number one draft pick in consecutive seasons. Houston traded 1982's most valuable player, Moses Malone, to the Philadelphia 76ers, despite leading the Rockets to the 1981 NBA Finals. Then, after selecting Virginia's Ralph Sampson number one overall in the 1982 draft, and University of Houston's Akeem Olajuwon number one in the 1983 draft, the Rockets advanced to the NBA Finals again in 1986. Olajuwon went on to win the 1994 and 1995 NBA championships with the Rockets, finishing his career as an NBA Hall of Famer. Other NBA governors were furious that the Rockets were rewarded for trading away the league MVP and actively making their team bad. The NBA lottery was instituted as a way for the league to prevent other NBA teams from actively putting a worse product on the floor. Additionally, the NBA instituted a salary cap on each of their franchises, both as a way to improve competitive balance and suppress the wages of their players, increasing league profits. In 1987, there were 23 NBA basketball teams, and 16 of them qualified for the playoffs. For the 7 teams who do not qualify for the playoffs, they entered the draft lottery to decide who gets the first 7 picks of the NBA draft. Each team has an equal 14.28% chance of acquiring each of the first 7 picks. 1987 was the first time the San Antonio Spurs had ever been a part of a draft lottery. In the first 2 years of the lottery, the Spurs made the playoffs with 41-41 and 35-47 records, and were eliminated in the first round both times. During the NBA draft lottery, one representative from each team sat on the stage in New York, while NBA Commissioner David Stern read out the order of picks from envelopes picked out of a rotating lottery machine on stage. One by one, Stern opened the envelopes to reveal the order of the picks. Seventh pick, Cleveland. Six, Sacramento. Five, New York. Four, Los Angeles. Third pick, New Jersey. Second pick, Phoenix. First pick, San Antonio Spurs. In their first draft lottery, and only the second time missing the playoffs in team history, San Antonio would be selecting number one in the NBA draft. Adding to the glory, this was a special season to win the lottery, because there was a unanimous number one player in the draft, regarded as the most talented to enter the NBA since Olajuwon was drafted by Houston 3 years earlier. You can pre-order the Spurs Dynasty today with the link in the description to this episode. Spurs 6th Championship on Linktree is the website. Available on Amazon and Kindle, available on Barnes & Noble, and available most places that you order books. If you want to order the book directly from me and get 25% off, send me an email to takeiteasypod@gmail.com. We've typed out that email for you in the description to this episode to make things a little bit easier. And the link to my email is available on Spurs6thChampionship.com. Thank you for stopping in. My name is Kyle Ledbetter, and we are so excited to be sharing our book with all of you, and we thank you for supporting our dreams.